Welcome to the I Wonder Doctor podcast with David Rosensweet, MD. I Wonder Doctor integrates traditional and complementary medicine with the goal of helping you to get well, to get healthy. It is designed to be done in real life, in real time, by real people, and seeks to inspire as many aha moments as possible. Welcome to I Wonder Doctor.
I'm Dr. David Rosensweet.
And I'm Joshua Rosensweet.
And we're live on I Wonder Doctor.
Today I want to talk to you guys about something that's very precious to me. I learned this, 25 years ago. It's just one of those little things that could just be another life hack. And yet to me it's had great meaning. It's been something very important to me. I don't know why, and I don't know if it's universal. I don't know if it's a value to you, but it really has been to me. And really it's this. Everything we do in life involves time. And time is this amazingly precious commodity. This is what we've got. We've got this time. And so how we use this time we're given on Earth is one of the most important things we could possibly do with our lives, is use time in a way that serves us best. So the way that I want to look at this is that really there are only four ways you can ever use your time. And the first one is that time can be used for things that are urgent and important, right? That's obvious. You really care about it, and it's really got to get done quickly. It's got to get done now. Obvious, we got to get this stuff done. We love it, we need it, we care about it. The second quadrant is things that are urgent, but they're not important. Lots of things in our lives are this. We lose track of this. We don't remember that this is true, but it is. A simple example of something that's urgent, but not necessarily important, is the ringing of a phone. There are so many things in life we will neglect because the phone is ringing. It's screaming at us to get done. It's time sensitive, and we do it, but it might not be important. The third quadrant, and this is the quadrant that this whole thing is about to me, and that is things that are important, but they're not urgent. There's nothing telling you you have to do it right away. Some really simple examples of that are exercise. We know we need to exercise, but we forget it. Why? Because nothing is telling us we have to get it done. And one way to look at this, and we know we sort of brought it up in the email, is what are we going to, when we're on our last weeks of life and we're looking back at our life, and this isn't about guilt for me or feeling ashamed of what I've done. This is just sort of pre-planning. When I think about the things that I will care about, when I look back at my life, they're all going to fall into this quadrant. They will be things like, how much time did I spend with my kids? How much time did I spend caring for my wife? Did I take care of my dog? Did I take care of my health? Did I remember to breathe and watch sunsets? All of these things, we all have a list of things that are really, really important to us, but we somehow forget to do them. And so every time I've got something going on in life, and just like you, I can get pulled in a million directions. We've got many businesses running and lots of phone calls ringing and lots of things that feel really, really urgent. But a lot of them aren't important. And when I reflect on a day or a week or a year that has passed, I ask myself, did I remember to spend the time in quadrant known as important but not urgent? And remembering that I will care more about this than anything else. This is it. Of course, that fourth quadrant exists too, and that's things that are not important and not urgent, right? That's pretty obvious. You know, too much TV falls into this category. Not all TV for me, by the way. Sometimes TV is about sharing and loving and snuggling and laughing, but some of it falls into that category. But anyhow, I wanted to open with this because if I imagine this little quadranty thing in my head I remember to go, Josh, care about things that are important but not urgent. Josh, remember to do those things more.
And it sounds theoretical.
Yeah.
And it isn't theoretical because there's something very real about this life. And for example, I've been driven at times in my life by, well, my relationship is solid.
Yeah.
I'm going to pay attention to business, and I could be worried about it, and worried about this patient, and worried about this aspect of keeping the office going and the cash flow, and I could get lost in work, and all the time I could tell myself, which I have done, well, I mean, I've got to provide for the safety of my family.
Yeah.
And neglect the moment to moment, and come home late, and come home exhausted. And there's been times when I've gone, look at this. I gave the time of my day when I had the most energy and the most vitality to other people other than my wife, my family, my kids. And these things, you don't get to reel them back in. These mistakes, they do add up. I've loved your analogy of the bank account. You neglect someone that loves you once, you've got a full bank account, they love you.
It's a little withdrawal.
It's a little withdrawal. It bothers them in the moment, but they're resilient and strong and they care about you. And then let's multiply that by 50 times or 1,000 times, because over the course of several years, you can neglect someone and not hold them as the most important thing in your life. I mean, many people out there, what was the most important thing in your life when you connected sacredly and felt love? It's the most important thing in your life. There's nothing like that. And you can think, well, that's solid. I'll focus my attention on my creativity and my business. And you can neglect 5 times a day and 100 times a week and keep doing it. And it does erode trust. It does lead to the quieting down of an intimate friendship, an intimate relationship.
It does add up to consequential health decisions.
Absolutely, because if you, for one thing, if you're not feeling love and not succeeding at what your soul,
that matters too. But I mean, if this is about things that are important but not urgent, boy, does work feel important and urgent. And
yes.
So
Oh, yeah.
We neglect to eat a healthy
lunch. Gotta make that call.
You know what? I better skip the gym today because, oh boy, work is so important.
Right.
And I know I already said this one, but I want to say it again. That upper quadrant, important and urgent.
Well, quadrant, I mean, by quadrant, you mean what you haven't explained. Is there's four different ways to...
Yeah, I mean, they saw it on the screen.
They were watching this.
They know what I was talking
about. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. That, I mean, sometimes even things that are important and urgent, I think, need to be sacrificed to things that are important and not urgent, right? Sometimes, no matter how much a job is a beautiful thing and it's important and urgent, heck, man, family is more.
That's right.
But the one I wanted to add to that, because that's what you were talking about, and you are so right. I just want to say that the other category is things that are urgent but not important.
Oy.
And this one, when I go, what will I regret on my deathbed? It's those where I got confused, where I let
I answered the phone because that was ringing in my space.
Yeah.
And I love our friend Anthony's approach to things, that when you call Anthony's phone, you get a message. You don't get Anthony. And he says, I answer phone calls between...
Yeah, he's got a system. And it's something like, you've reached Anthony. I only answer calls between 11 and noon. And then again, between 4 and 5. He hasn't let that ringing phone be a constant, urgent, but not necessarily important thing. And he's also set up an emergency number system for those who actually need him, that he calls that, right? He says, in the event of an actual emergency, you can call my other number.
Yeah.
So that he's relieved himself of the stress of those moments when someone really, truly, urgently needs him. But otherwise, he's given himself some freedom from letting his day be absorbed by all those
things. The loudest ringing bell.
Right. And there's so many. There's so many that I can get distracted in business and go, oh, it feels so important that day. But if I reflect back on the week, I go, wait a minute, really? Really?
Well, it was the easiest because there the email, I open my computer and there's the email, and I'm just going to go respond to this email, even though there's five other things that are important today, including going home for lunch.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to catch up with my emails because there's the list, so I'm going to keep. And I mean, this is more challenging than ever before. I grew up when our home phone was in the kitchen only when I was a teenager, and it rang once a day, if that. No one was connected. There were no cell phones. You go outside, you're done. You have no connection with the outside world. And now everyone is plugged in, including myself. And so you have to develop the skill to say, what does matter to me? Okay, well, I need to go to the gym 3 days a week minimum. I'm going to do that. I need to go home for lunch 5 days a week. I need to be home early and be rested and in good shape to enjoy the evening with my beloved. I don't need to go into work at 9 o'clock this morning because it's more important that I stay home and have breakfast.
And as I think about this, at least for myself, this is an act of courage. There's something easy about letting life throw at you what it's going to and reacting to what's thrown at you. And to set a system in place, like the simple ones, they're just simple systems, but like I'm only going to answer the phone between, 11 and noon. I don't know, it's a courageous act to say this matters this much that I'm going to build my life around these priorities. And I think, especially when we've, why am I bringing this up? Because you and I were talking about this morning. And going in our own lives, where can we be doing more of this? More of, just like you already said, of things that were important but not urgent. And we could think it all through and it was all fine and dandy. And then I went, to really have the rubber hit the road, to honestly and truly make the changes to how we use our time and reprioritize to these things is an act of courage.
And it's an act of being intelligent and navigating properly in this important life that we are given. And when you first suggested to do this topic, you said, and in fact, this was the title of this topic is, how am I going to feel on my deathbed when I look back? Well, this is not a new thing.
Yeah.
I mean, there is a hospice worker, and I forget her name, but she listed the five things after listening to hundreds and hundreds of people on their deathbed. What are they regretting?
A hospice, for those of you who don't know, is a wonderful organization that steps in at end of life and helps people through those last weeks or months.
And people revealed to her over the course of her career what they did regret. And what did they regret? Number one, that they worked too much. And number, well, I don't know the exact order offhand, that they didn't give the attention to their family and friends, that they gave it elsewhere. And so I was willing to go with the title because who the heck wants to be confronted with, well, what are you going to think about on your deathbed?
Who wants another reason to feel ashamed
or
guilty? It's not about, oh, you're going to feel bad on your deathbed. But
it's more like, what helps us awaken to what does matter? And I think that's really what that quadrant is about.
Yeah.
It's like, your highest priority is my highest priority. And I have to work at this every day. This is not something that comes natural. Workaholism came more natural to me than this.
Yeah.
But I have to work every day to remember, okay, what matters? When I go to sleep at night, am I going to say, I lived my life properly?
There's one more thing I want to add.
Yeah.
When we set out to do this project, I Wonder, Doctor,
our
first objective was to create useful pieces of medical information that people could implement in their own lives.
Yeah.
Knowledge.
Yeah.
And what did we quickly learn?
Yeah.
That all of those pieces are wonderful. But if we've done any true good, it's not in teaching more facts and methods and strategies, and there's a billion of them out there on the internet. We all know it, and some of them are wonderful and some of them are not. It's really about implementation.
Implementation.
It doesn't matter what we know for health. It's what we do with what we know that matters. And so while this topic that we brought up is about is universal, and where do I care most about it personally? It's my family. But heck, man, we are a health show.
Yeah.
And if you look at that quadrant list for yourself, as I do, and you go, wow, one of my important but not urgent things is my health. Well,
as it will be for, I promise you, if it hasn't become so already, I promise you as a physician, it's going to be in spades. And you don't want to pick up on that one when you're already over the cliff edge.
Yeah.
And you're into diagnoses and illnesses. It's okay. Some people do pull themselves back. But this relates to your health, because if you're living, like we've said, life is good for health. And if you're responding to your cell phone 20 times a day, that's not called living. If you're up in your head thinking, and you're missing the beauty of your spouse or your friends because you're not there paying attention to that, you're thinking of something else, and you're not living. And this is heavily consequential, because that's very stressful to us. And I can tell you as a physician, there's causes of illnesses, and I've reviewed it many times, but nothing dismantles the body more prevalently, more commonly on this planet than doing the biological stress response too much. And what's going to stress you? Not living is very stressful. Not feeling love, not being present and seeing the beauty. That's very stressful to us.
I want to add one more.
Yeah.
One of the other values that I got out of this that I didn't understand is that I actually love work when I'm doing it right and the right amount.
Exactly.
And I'll tell you what work I really love.
Yeah.
When I've prioritized correctly.
Yeah.
When I'm using my work time to its best benefit. And when I'm not, even if I'm not conscious of it.
Yeah.
If I end a day and what I really did with that day was answer 30 emails that weren't really that important and 20 phone calls that didn't actually matter, that's a stressful kind of work, because I internally understand, or subconsciously understand, that I'm not using my work time to its best
benefit.
And
it's draining. And how do you come home at the end of the day with some vitality left in you and some boogie in your step?
Yeah.
You don't drain your energy all day.
Yeah.
And how do you come home exhausted? Because I did my day in a stressful way. That's that microscope zeroing in on, well, what am I really doing in any given moment?
I was going to get to my punchline.
Yeah.
I love what you just said. And my punchline is this. I thought that I was a great multitasker.
Right.
All right, actually, that's not true. I thought I was a mediocre multitasker, but that I could always muscle up to it. And that business required it. And so I better be the best multitasker I can possibly be. And you and I heard some studies a couple years ago about actually how good humans are at it, how much work they get done when they do it, and how stressful it is when they do it. And the answer to those questions is they're not as good as they think they are.
Multitasking is a myth.
Yeah, and it's stressful.
It's very inefficient. The brain doesn't operate that way. It has to go through too many machinations, which is exhausting to the brain. Talk about metabolism and energy. This is where so much of it is taking place, and you can strain your brain.
So where does the rubber hit the road? All over the place. And we've just opened up huge, huge territories. But heck, there it is. If we want more time spent for important but not urgent things, we've got to assess how we use our time and make some conscious choices around it.
And ask yourself,
when
you're looking back on the wholeness of your life, or even on your day, which is a good practice to do.
Yeah.
At the end of your day, before you go to sleep, am I living my dream? Did I pay attention to what mattered? Did I pause, and not as a ritual, but as something I treasure, absolutely pause to experience my granddaughter, or my beloved Kim, or you? Did I sit and enjoy them and be with them? Am I doing what my soul wants? was their was soul I, wants.
Was I gentle enough with my mind to give it the amount of tasks in any given moment that it wanted to do, yeah, so that I would be easily capable of showing up for my dog and my kid and all, yeah, those wonderful things? I mean, we can do it. I can muscle up. Yeah. If I do.
Of course, it's not genuine, and then everybody feels that.
Right.
Oh, Dad's paying attention to me now.
Dad's smiling. He's really smiling.
Or Kim has said to me so many times so correctly that, you know, you're still working, you're home, but you're still, your brain is still somewhere else, and your mind and your attention, and you're exhausted.
You know, we're in such sweet territory for me. I care so much about it. I could go on for a very long time,
yeah,
and maybe we should stop. But I want to say one more that really matters to me, and that's, let's see if I can say this correctly. What? Let's see. I lost it. I'm sorry to say. If I reach my deathbed and I'm broke,
yeah,
and I failed as a businessman,
yeah,
and I've, you know, failed at all those things, they will be a bother to me. I, yeah, really want to succeed.
Yeah.
I like working and succeeding and all, yeah, that, but whatever, they won't be the one.
Yeah.
But if I make it to that phase and I have to honestly say, son of a bitch, I didn't spend enough time with my kids, that will be very, very difficult
for me. That will be unacceptable.
That will be unacceptable. And so when's the time to correct it? Now. Now. This week. This day.
Yeah.
This lifetime.
The great work.
Great work. A very big thanks to all the people it takes to produce these. And thanks to you for listening. Be sure to head on over to iwonderdoctor.com for all the rest that we have to offer.